Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We're here to discuss all of the Big Mac stories that have gone on. There's not a lot, but there's enough to get us salivating, something to talk about, something to get our juices flowing. Joining me, packed panel, Muller's out, done himself, mate. And that's with one person crying off as well. So we would have had six here, which would have been amazing, considering we've only got five Skype lines. Would have been real pressure. But joining me, absolutely fantastic bunch. We've got top left starting us off, James Rickards.
Good afternoon. I don't think I've ever been top left. This is like an honoured position, I believe.
Apart from the last time you were on.
I had to check with
you. Were, but
Brock name.
Yeah, it's the first time since the last time.
I've got it all to myself. It's mine, on mine.
And you're in your dressing gown.
Well, I'll be honest with you, I have been fully dressed all day and I've been up at a reasonable time. It's just the fact that, you know, old Blighty is suffering a bit of a blast from the polar ice caps, and we're feeling it a bit hard. I had some oil delivered yesterday because, you know, I live in Shropshire, which is freezing for reason. And I got four bags of coal delivered and a freezer full of shopping, so I'm ready for the big freeze. Bring it on.
Excellent, mate.
Super. But yeah, good to be here.
This is how it started for Howard Hughes, you know.
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure it's
you
funny.
Don't know who Howard Hughes is?
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Google it while we talk to Jeff then. Then you'll go, oh, Howard Hughes got you. Jeffrey, how the devil are you, man?
I'm doing all right. And I'm totally ready for the crazy weather here too. It's going to be 57 Fahrenheit today. Welcome to Colorado.
Oh my God.
So Brett was telling us earlier on, he was minus 32.
Yeah. Yesterday, I think it was 46 here and 46 below where Brett is.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're expecting 74 today, so.
Yeah, you guys make sure you wear your gloves. Yes. Those fingers are far right off.
You don't want to get frostbite.
Getting chilly in Arizona. Yes. Those are the dulcet tones of Patrice. How you doing, mate?
Oh, doing good. Thank God it's Friday.
Magic Man's just seen my thumbs up. That was about 10 minutes before we started the broadcast. Oh, dear. Magic Man, Spruce Goose. So he's got a hell of a delay. And Batwench has put you a link into Wikipedia. Weather's good. Job's good. Times in America good.
Everything really
lucky
good.
Lucky bastard. Excuse me. Sorry, that just came out, didn't it? That didn't stay on the inside. Brilliant, mate. Great to see you. Next to him, Greeny. Boy, we haven't seen on the Mac Show for bloody ages, mate.
I know. Well, yes. And it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
And on new Mac.
On new Mac? Yep.
Yep. Excellent.
So, with massive thanks to Muller to have helped me out with this.
Yeah, no.
It's magical. I'm absolutely loving it. It's like I've been working on an iPhone to do British Macs and stuff.
Yeah.
But now I've got, I think it's 3 or 4 terabytes of storage space, and think I've filled about 50 gig. So what am I going to do with all the rest?
Make shows.
Yes, I think
and a lot of shows.
Absolutely loving it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Good to have you back on the mat, mate. And by no means least, our man in the mountains, Brett Terpstra. How you doing, buddy?
I am good. I'm always last.
You're in your lumber.
Aww.
No, you're not. You've been on other lines.
Actually part of my contract, like Celebrity Squares. I always get this
and
square.
You either fight over the first one or the and finally, don't you? That's right. You're sitting there in your lumberjack shirt, mate, with a dusky beard going. It's
It's 4 degrees here Fahrenheit right now, which is, compared to the last 3 days, it's balmy.
Tropical. Awesome, mate. Glad to have you back on, pal. Thank you for turning up.
Good to be here.
The weekend, Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. Well, we had the earnings call, didn't we? That was the one thing this week that came through. 65 million iPhones sold in the quarter, but they reckon that there's an awful lot of of missing sales out there. Tim Cook has said he doesn't believe that the price is a factor in the reason that I don't think price is a factor in declining iPhone upgrades, says Tim. However, someone else at Apple doesn't agree because in international markets, they are lowering the price of iPhones to boost sales. So, discuss. Flop or not?
God, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, obviously, the battery thing probably didn't help because, obviously, we did talk about this a few weeks back, but, you know, offering a battery to people for a ridiculous amount of money and saying, hey, your phone would be like it was new if you just spend £25 English money to get your phone back up to speed. So a lot of people must have thought, wow, this is great. And quite rightly so, it did put their phone almost back to the day one for a lot of people anyway. The people like my mother-in-law, my wife, etc., they all had this done. So that was a few iPhone sales probably from our family alone with that battery. I do think that had a big part to play in it.
Really, the battery swap was the driver. Because they thought, well, I've got a new phone, effectively.
I'm going to give that a big nope.
Right.
Boo, Jeff. Boo.
Okay. Yes, the battery discount replacement thing, of course, that played into some degree. Because there are people that chose not to upgrade their iPhone because they could get new battery. However, I think the real driving force here is the overall market. Smartphone sales have plateaued, and no one is really growing like they were. So it's a market thing, and Apple is dealing with it as best they can, just like all the other smartphone makers. This is all about phones are already so good that people are no longer seeing the need to upgrade every time a new model comes out. And it doesn't matter if it's an iPhone or an Android phone.
Yeah.
And it's actually probably all three. Like, the batteries definitely had an effect because those people probably would have bought a new phone because their old phone wasn't working as they wanted it to. And they got it back for like £25, as we heard. But I think the other, like what Jeff is saying, especially what, I mean, in the light of what Apple is saying in their official investor statements, that especially China was down quite a bit, and that accounted for most of the losses, basically.
Majority of it is definitely China.
So that, I think, given that, I think that definitely plays the biggest role. But the others definitely didn't help. I mean, some people definitely said no. I mean, we have people here who said no, it's too expensive, I'm not upgrading. And that's valid.
I love my 10 so much. The newer models, they didn't tempt me at all. I have no need to upgrade right now. Would gladly, if the time comes, replace a battery and keep this thing for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd agree. I think, you know, the iPhone 10, you know, it came out and, you know, Tim Cook said, you know, this is the phone that we think will be a flagship for, you know, for a long time because it's got all this technology in it. And yes, it's going to cost you a lot of money, but understand that this is a piece of technology with a stainless steel, with the OLED screen. These are things we haven't done before. And it is a flagship. And quite rightly, guys, you're absolutely right. I have no desire to change my phone at all. And my friend came around with his iPhone XR, and I've got another one with his XS Plus or XS, what have they got now? See, I'm even forgetting the model these days, so I'm just not interested.
Sorry.
No, thank you, that's fine. You know, it gets to that point where you're right, the iPhone 10 is such a great phone. It really is, and I think if I had to change it, you know, I'd be looking for another 10.
Or I'd be looking for something significantly better. Like, there would have to be some major upgrades for me to be tempted.
Yeah,
the camera on this thing is top notch. I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please don't forget that the 10, I mean, if you're coming from a 10, the 10S, it's an S year. I mean, the previous S versions have been the same. Like, there was usually very little reason to upgrade, and nobody was expecting
better.
You to.
The camera's better than the 10 in the new one, but that's pretty much it.
That's about
the
it.
Form factor changes. But. Yeah.
I think this is why we're hearing rumors about, you know, like three cameras in the new iPhone. 11, if you like, because, you know, as you said, it's still a square rectangular piece of technology, and how much more can we do to it, really? Because the screen is that good now, the speakers are that good, you know, it's practically waterproof. You know, what else? What, I mean, probably a good question, actually. What do you want your phone to do? That'd be a great question, really. What do you want your phone to do?
Because it'll be fun when they make them shaped like cameras, so they become a camera you can talk on instead of a phone you can take pictures with.
That would be fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, some would say we're already there. I don't know.
I mean, what was interesting in the investor call, I think yesterday or the day before, was Apple actually released, like, their, not sales numbers, but they told you, like, which one was selling better. And they said 10R, then the 10S Max, which is the most expensive one, and then the 10S. I would have expected it to be flipped, that the 10S is more, like, more interesting because it's cheaper and smaller for most people.
Well, the 10R, you thought that would be high because of the budget sales, but actually the one that's been told, that's the one that's really flagging, and it so clearly isn't.
It's still sold more, apparently, than the 10S Max or the 10S individually, like, not combined.
Yeah.
I remember when Steve Jobs came back to Apple, and because we had sort of so many different variants of different Macs, it got incredibly confusing. And I feel we're there again, because I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
10R, 10S, 10X, whatever.
Yeah, you got three different iPhones. You got five different iPad Pros.
Yeah.
The iPad market is so confused right now.
Yeah. And the MacBook, I mean, don't even get me started on the Macs, the MacBooks especially.
Yeah, it's all over the shop. It's very Scully-esque, most definitely.
Yeah. Pretty, I mean, it is also like a normal progression. You, like, when you first introduce a new device or device category, there's only one, at least for Apple, and it serves a certain market. And then once that market, like that market segment, is saturated, you have to look at, okay, what do the other segments need? So introduce a second or a third version. And we're seeing that with the iPhone. Like, they're okay, we need a like a big one, a small one. We need a cheap one. We need a really small one with the SE. Like, you see that, and with the iPad the same. Like, we need one for the pros. We need one for the schools. We need one for normal people. We need one in between. Like, it's all those segments. So it's as I said, it's a normal progression almost. And it's hard to get out of, and Apple is not doing a good job.
You need two iPads, large, small.
Yeah,
two MacBooks, large, small.
I got the largest iPad Pro, and I regret that.
Interesting.
I wish I'd gone with the smaller one.
So why have you regretted that choice then?
It's too big to be any kind of consumption device. It really can only serve as a crippled computer for me.
Love that terminology. Crippled.
Crippled computer. I think we have a title.
Well, my 2014 MacBook Pro is falling apart. It doesn't close all the way anymore. The trackpad doesn't click well. The left command key only works half the time. But I'm scared to get a new Mac because the keyboards sound so awful. Everyone I know has had like two or three returns on their MacBook Pros.
Well, James has had
I'm on my third keyboard.
James has had every Mac since 2011, I think. No?
Yeah.
Free of charge as well.
Since the silver keyed, you know, when there's like the 15 and 17 inch MacBook, that's when I kind of started. So I had the 15 inch silver keys, CD drive, etc. And I've had every MacBook since. And obviously 2016 to late 2018 was just not a nightmare, as you guys know, a nightmare.
Yeah.
No.
Not good.
I've got the iPad 11 inch. And I have to say, I still really like that as a form factor. I don't feel negative on it. The only problem I find a bit frustration with it is I'll leave it for a day or two, and the battery really goes down on standby. And that really annoys me, because then when I pull it out, it's like, oh, it was 100%. I put it away. 3 days later, I go back to it, and it's at 40%, and you want to use it. And you're kind of like, hang on. You know, it shouldn't be going down that much. But I think that's because of the radio in it. Well, that's because I've got the data card in it, so I've got the SIM chip in, and I think that's probably constantly looking for a signal.
I only have Wi-Fi, and I have the same problem.
Oh, right.
Give it 3 or 4 days, and it'll actually go dead, low battery.
completely, which is, you know, when it goes into standby, that shouldn't be that big an issue. It should have a, you know, a week on standby, you would have hoped.
Yeah.
It'd still be usable. But
yeah.
But apart from that, I still love it. I still like watching movies on it. I watch TV content on it when I'm cooking and stuff like that with my AirPods in. It's still a big draw for me in that sense. And I think if you said, would you upgrade? So that's the next question, isn't it? Is really, bless you, William. If you say, well, the acid test is, do you upgrade to the same thing or do you upgrade to the different form factor? And I don't think I'd upgrade. I don't think the next iPad I'd buy would be a 9.7 inch. Not a chance. I want me 12 inch back, definitely.
I can't. I've got an iPad, or I should say my son has, but he rarely uses it. He's a big PC fan. So every now and then I'll sort of grab the iPad out and have a look. But I just can't seem to fit it into the way I sort of use technology, really. And that sounds a weird thing to do, but I'll probably use the iPad just to test websites or animation that I'm looking at doing. But other than that, I just struggle to find where an iPad fits in my lifestyle, really. Because obviously I've always got my phone on me, and I'm obviously a MacBook Pro, so that's sitting next to me. Yeah, I struggle with an iPad, really. Unless it was for drawing, maybe.
Yeah.
But since my Mac was broken, and the only device I had was an iPhone, and then my mum very kindly gave me an iPad, it's an impossible mission to do anything really productive. And really meaningful on an iPhone and an iPad.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say that, I mean, the iPhone, great for making and receiving telephone calls and keeping on top of your email as you go through the day. But if you want to use it as a proper business device, then it's no good. You just need a Mac.
Or programming, yeah.
Well, I'll give you programming, but I'll disagree on the count that I'm actually doing that. I use my iPad probably more than my Mac right now. Like, I use it, like, everything personal is on my iPad Pro. I have a current gen iPad Pro 12.9 or whatever it is now. But I use it in the office all the time, like, every meeting I go to. Like, the notes, I even do screen sharing and, like, video conferencing with it. Like, wherever I am, like, I usually, like, my Mac stays at my desk and I just take my iPad wherever I go. The only time I ever need my Mac is when I want to like switch between 15 different things in a meeting or show something where it's like, okay, something's here, something's there. Or as Brad said, I have to code something. That's the only exception. Like even SSHing into servers and doing updates and like deployments and so on, whenever I have to do that, I can do with my iPad easily. And I do it. It's not just that I can, I actually do it.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Now, I'm not a coder, so that doesn't play into how I use my iPad. But that's a big part of why the iPad is a great productivity tool for some people and not for other people. I have to make a point now to consciously take my MacBook Pro with me out when I go, say, yes, to a coffee shop to work sometimes, so that I actually give my battery some exercise. Otherwise, it's just the iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. And
you take your Mac for a walk.
That's what it sounded like. Yeah,
that's right. Yep.
Yeah, boy.
Otherwise, it's the iPad Pro, and I can do everything I need to do, and I can do it well on my iPad Pro.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Exactly. As I said, everybody's different. I mean, when James said that it doesn't fit in his workflow, that's absolutely fine. Like, nobody is forcing anybody to do anything. Like, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. Fine. Like, nobody, like, you don't have to buy it.
I like to write on my iPad Pro. It's a great device for writing. I can load up a split screen with a web browser if I need linking and stuff. But I miss, on my Mac, I've developed workflows using system services and things like Keyboard Maestro that I just can't replicate easily on an iPad. And as like a power user tool, that's why I call it a crippled computer, because I have to do things the hard way. Whereas I could just pop up my MacBook and get it done.
Yeah. I mean, Brett, you also
makes sense.
I don't know, 10-15 years of like workflows and scripts and stuff that you've created. I mean, I've used some of your stuff, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Muller's kept the tone high by saying iPad's good, but it's crap for porn. Bob Beach.
Get out.
Bob Beach says he loves his 12-inch iPad. Greg says, love my iPad Pro 12 too. Bob Beach says he doesn't agree with Greeny. He does lots of work on his iPad Pro. But I can see what Greeny's saying. I think, you know, if you start into the creative apps, it gets a lot more limited very quickly. I don't enjoy doing photo on it. I don't enjoy doing video on it at all. It's not brilliant for that. MS Office on iPad is capable of everything for most tasks, and the Pencil's brilliant with it.
Yep, agreed.
So, yeah, I've given up with the Pencil a little bit, I have to say, because I've got sick and tired of that not having a bloody charge in it and all constantly.
That is definitely something that has been solved by the new iPad. I mean, I could show that here. This is how mine looks like right now, and this Pencil's always with me.
Yeah.
Love it. I think... So iOS 12 brought a lot of new stuff to the iPad. You know, split screen and all that sort of stuff. Great.
Sorry. I think that was technically 11. I think in 12 there was not much.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
Well, that's the first time he saw it, so it's valid. Go on, Greeny. Carry on with your point, mate.
Yeah, okay. So 13, I think, which is going to be out springish, I think will hopefully turn the iPad and the iPad Pro into a usable computer other than media consumption, which is pretty much what it is now.
Yeah, I've got the Logitech case and I find that quite cool. I've swapped. I had the Logitech case and I stopped when I got the one that had the Pencil holder in it, and now I've stopped using the Pencil. I've gone back to the case with the keyboard. And the Logitech keyboard case I find really, really cool now. And it's opening it out into a laptop and using it like a laptop. I've got a lot more functionality at it, but it's still not... I still want a mouse if I was going to do anything with apps for like placement or photo touching or drawing, or a mouse would be kind of cool as well as... If anyone's got a cool thing that's about enabling a mouse... I mean, you could get a Bluetooth mouse for it, could you, I suppose? But no, it wouldn't show a cursor. Wouldn't show a cursor, no.
There's a company that made a product that hooked into the iPad and let you use a mouse. I'll see if I can find that.
Yeah, cool. Would it show a cursor, though?
I don't know. I'm assuming it had to show something. Otherwise, how would you know what you're pointing at?
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe they were using the something accessibility for that.
Is there an accessibility function for that? I don't know. Yeah, well, Jeff, that's your mission, mate.
I'm on the hunt.
So, yeah, anyway, going back to the story, Tim Cook, the $600 million man, says, I don't think price is a factor.
Yeah, disagree.
And I do like the coral, I have to say. I still love that coral colour. That is nice. Mm. And the red, I love Muller's cherry red strap. That's cool.
My mom has a red, and it's like it looks really, really good.
Your mom does?
Yeah, she bought a 10R.
Fantastic.
10R recently.
So it's for women and good.
I don't know if Muller actually got that deal or not, but you'll just keep.
It's mine.
Apple apologizes over FaceTime listening in bug, and they've had a couple of there's a class action in Canada supposedly been brought forward, which I think is a bit of an overreaction, man. Calm down.
Yeah,
it's a feasibility of it. It's not an actuality, is it? No one's suggesting that anyone's actually been done.
If someone could detect it like that, I mean, it wasn't a security researcher or anything. It was like a random person. But if one person can do it, then there's a chance someone else already did and is using it. You don't know.
Mm. Yeah, okay, but I mean...
This is stupid.
Oh, go on then. In the randomity, though, you got someone slagging off someone else to their mom, and that's about it, probably. But
yeah.
Go on, Jeff.
But this doesn't need a lawsuit.
No.
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 The whole lawsuit thing. Come on, people. I mean, I totally get in the United States that everything will result in a lawsuit because we're so litigious. Lawsuit. Yes, litigious. Thank you. My tea hasn't fully kicked in yet. So apparently,
great word.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently, we're now ribbing off on Canada.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've just seen a comment from Pan here, and he says, I think part of the problem is that everyone is thinking that the iPad is a portable Mac. And I just wanted to chime in on that and say, but Apple told us it was a computer.
They did.
Right.
So, no, but I mean, there's a difference between a computer and a Mac. Like, technically, your iPhone is a computer.
Jesus, you're good. Really good, Patrice. Spot on, mate. I've gone to get a water.
Oh. What's happened? I
thought they're going to talk for a second. I'll go and get a water and then you'll bloody shut up.
bad.
Yeah, we don't need a lawsuit.
Veteran says Apple never apologizes. Hell has frozen over. No, that's not true.
Oh, they do. I think that's a good... I mean, there is a thing about... Because apologizing is not a big thing in America, is it really? With corporations particularly, I'm saying. Yeah. But I think actually this goes away significantly faster because you hold your hands up and go, yep, you got a sorry, didn't mean to, couldn't find it, won't do it again.
Actually, American corporations have, like, there's such a push now for transparency. It's rewarded by the population. We buy products. We forgive things like phones blowing up with a basic apology and here's a fix.
Yeah.
True. Yeah, but it's also, I mean, what Jeff said about, litigation. That's the other other side of it. I mean, a lot of companies don't want to apologize because that would mean they had to admit that there was an issue.
Yeah, Greg says Apple cock-up makes for good clickbait. Good point.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bob Beach is saying Americans have a lot to
I wasn't going to read that out.
I was. I'm not sure about that.
America has a lot to apologize for.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I wasn't going to say that. Let's move on. Let's take the higher path, boys.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, bloody coming here with you.
All right. I think we got to be
what do you like?
This horse to the death.
Yeah. Apple promotes heart health with Activity Challenge and Apple Store events throughout February. In recognition of the Heart Month, which is this is February apparently, there's a whole pile of shiz going on in all of your local Apple stores. And your watch will be your big... I mean, it's a massive opportunity for Apple to sell the watch, isn't it, the heart thing?
Yeah, I've heard from a friend that they've got obviously an internal... sort of thing that they're doing where they're all obviously to challenge each other and they're going to get a limited edition watch strap at the end of it, which is lovely for the employees, I think.
That's cool.
Cool. So only
how many people will die?
thank you, Greenie.
There you go. Who knows?
Bob Beach is going higher path on this show. Bastard.
So Apple didn't focus on Black History Month?
No. I don't think so. I didn't see anything.
That would have been an interesting store feature focus.
Mm-hmm. Isn't February LGBTQ RSP WXYZ month?
Isn't every month someone's month?
Well, no, it is. It's LGBT month.
Well, here it's primarily Black History Month, and always has been. Well, I mean, for as long as Black History Month has existed.
Right, so we've got LGBT History Month, we've got Black History Month, and we've got Heart History Month. So, February's packed, boys. I saw the Samsung watch the other week.
Oh, yeah.
And in the flesh, the brand new one. And I was talking to the guy and I went, yeah, but it's Tizen, is it? It's not compatible with the iPhone. He went, no, fully compatible with the iPhone. And then I realized that he'd sent me a text to say, I can't find your place. So I knew it was compatible with the iPhone and he sent that from his watch. And he showed me the face and he showed me how it all moved and everything. And the face was gorgeous. It was crystal clear. You couldn't see any pixels on it. The graphics looked amazing. And I said to myself, do you know what? I think, and it was 329 quid, or you could get it for 265 for the 46 mil. And I was just kind of like, that look, I do quite fancy that, I have to say. And you could make the faces look like original chronograph type stuff that was absolutely gorgeous. Well, well impressed with it. Anyone fancy it? No?
Yeah. Yeah, I do, absolutely.
I do. Because I don't what's like the price, Apple,
what's,
the Apple
what's
Watch.
What's the price point, though, these days?
329 is the retail, I think. And then you can get it for about 265, depending on where you shop around. But you can only get a SIM only one from EE because they're the only ones that support it, as in the iPhone is as well. It's the only one that they're the only carrier that support it in the UK.
Oh gosh, okay.
Yeah, but coming back to the story, go ahead, Greeny.
Sorry, Greeny. No,
Greeny. All I was going to say, I don't like him. I think from a design point of view. I haven't seen, so I can't talk about the Samsung or Android or whatever, but from the Apple point of view, I think they're ugly buggly. I really do. I think a watch is sort of a personal statement, and people seem to be obsessing about tracking women, steps you take on, why would you burn or whatever. The whole hell thing seems to have detracted from actual style and design of a watch. Both men and women, a watch is a very, very personal statement, and you have to be happy with the look of the thing. And I am not happy with the look of the Apple Watch or any.
No, I don't like the look of the Apple Watch at all. I've always said with Greeny that on this that it looks like a pillow.
And then there are millions of people who disagree and who like it, so it's like as you say.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Patrice.
Yes, you're
always the contrarian.
No, he's always the apple. We pay him to be the apple apologist.
It's not about apple apologists and nothing. As Greeny said, it is personal preference. It is a statement. I absolutely agree. I just disagree that is crap and nobody likes it.
You agree but disagree. I don't get
it. No, I agree that it's a personal statement, but that doesn't, that and the conclusion that because of that the Apple Watch is crap, that I don't follow. Because that is true. It's actually contrary to what
I didn't say it was crap.
He said the design.
What I said was functionally I think it's terrific, does a great job. And everything else, it's just purely from a design perspective. I don't like it.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. You don't like it. That's okay, but that doesn't mean everybody has to hate it.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
I'm not saying everybody has to agree with my opinion. But you are.
That's you, that is.
Deepan is saying, luckily, Greeny has an alternative watch available.
Just so that people can see it, there's a picture of it. Samsung Galaxy 46mm watch at Argos, £299 if you'd like it. And you can get the smaller one, the 42mm, for 276 or 273 or something like that. And it comes in gold and black and silver and that.
And you say all the text works for the year and all that sort of stuff with the iPhone.
It was a lot more functional, I found. And he was talking to his watch as well to get it to do stuff, so that was a big plus. Really, really cool. And I can't get over the fact that that's a digital face that you're looking at there. It's not an actual chronograph face. That looks absolutely amazing to me.
I'm looking at it right now, and it is superb, isn't it?
Yeah, I've just sent Greeny a picture on text, so... you can have a look at it. But,
so, Greeny, do you think you can get those in bulk?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
See, there's a comment from Batwitch here saying, how thick is it in profile? I've just changed the picture there. It's a lot thinner. It's way thinner than the iPhone. The Apple Watch.
I've got to say that that looks like a, that does look like a good, I'm looking on the website now, that does look like a good watch. I'm going to have to watch some YouTube clips after this to see what people are making of it, because I love watching YouTube and seeing people unbox it and things like that, because it really shows what the product's like.
Is the watch strapped ribbed for pleasure? This is deep, man.
Show title.
Yeah. The thing was, though, I went into I went to the store and I said, you've got the watch. She said, yeah. I said, could I have a look at it, please? I can show you the box.
Oh, how very dare you asking questions like that.
Can I have a look at the watch? And she's like, no. And I'd already looked at Mark's watch, so it wasn't, you know, the end of the world. But I'm like, you're serious? You expect to sell these without having one out on the side? Yeah. It's a theft risk.
Yes.
Okay, so people are going to come in and go, I definitely want this watch. And you won't open a box to show me. You haven't even got a box that's like under the counter that you're opening up to go, here you go, you can have a look for a few seconds. No, we can't break a seal on them. So I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
And the Apple store down the road's got 50 Apple watches all out, so you can actually put them on.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, you know, why didn't the Samsung Galaxy Watch sell? Because he wouldn't show it to anyone.
Yeah. Oh, I'll show you the box. Oh, would it fit my wrist? I wouldn't know. You'd have to buy it and then return it.
So I'm buying a £299 box.
Yeah.
I just love the fact you've got a face there that looks like a proper watch face that, you know.
Yeah, it does look good.
It looks really, really stunning. It's, you know, classic Seiko diver watch kind of look to it. And you can make up your own as well. So I'm got to say, I'm really tempted. Really, really tempted.
What watches have to be round, don't they? I mean, it's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Your watch has to be round.
Which is where
square.
I come back to your point, Greeny, and saying that that it's you're exactly right.
I have no problem with a square watch. Just to play Patrice's part on this.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the new Apple Watch. I would say that new design is quite lovely, and it makes the old one look instantly vintage the minute you see the new one.
Yeah.
It does look lovely. They've done a good job at just rounding off those edges. I would say it's, and the screen's so bright as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Apple shuts down all of Google's internal apps for abusing enterprise certificates. Did anyone read this story? Because I haven't.
I mean, this whole thing started with Facebook, actually. Facebook used the enterprise certificate enterprise program certificate to, was it, distribute a VPN client, I think?
That's right, to kids.
You would get $20 if you basically send them all your data.
Yeah, that was shady as hell.
Really?
Yeah.
And Apple pulled that one, and in the light of that, it also came out that Google was basically doing the same thing.
Really? Like
They were just providing a service, a very similar service.
Huh. Yeah, in Google's defense, at least they made it clear, hey, we're just siphoning all your data with this. Yeah. But, they both did exactly what they're not supposed to, which is use their enterprise app certificate to distribute an app publicly.
Yeah. Yes. Clear breach.
There are other apps that do that, especially for betas. So Sonos, I know, does it. Readle, for example, I know uses that. I'm pretty sure there are more.
I thought they were using a different certificate for that.
No, at least Readle, the one certificate I know and I've seen is definitely a enterprise one.
Okay. Then hopefully they're being smart and they're using one enterprise certificate for internal use and one enterprise certificate for external testing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it would help because Apple might just pull both, but yeah. I hope they're being smart and looking into this and saying, okay, how can we fix that so that we don't get caught up in this as well?
Well, on the beta thing, doesn't Apple have a process in place to allow for public betas of iOS apps?
Test flight.
Yeah. Test flight.
Flight. But are you limited to 100 with that?
Okay. No, so, that's more. It's way more than that now.
Right.
Okay, so there's a legitimate way to do a public beta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But using your enterprise certificate just so that you can distribute an app outside the App Store.
Yeah.
Yeah, they needed to have their certificates yanked.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, especially for what they were doing. I mean, it sounded like both Google and Facebook were also using them for internal things, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But that public beta / VPN topic is definitely not what they should be doing. Yeah, I think the limiting factor, I mean, just speaking about Sonos and especially about Riedel, I think the reason for them is it is still an incredible pain in the back behind to distribute betas to a bigger customer group, especially if you have a lot of apps like Riedel does. So doing it this way, they can actually, I mean, they set up a system how you can distribute betas for all their apps just with one login and one app that manages that. And I think that's probably something that Apple should look into, like why are especially those companies using those enterprise certificates for betas?
Not a good business, and they've got caught, and it's only supposed to be an internal thing, wasn't it, for employee only?
Yeah. The one thing, and there has been some discussion in other podcasts about this as well, the one thing that is a little bit, well, I want to say weird, or I understand Apple's position. I mean, if it was any smaller developer, I mean, I could bet that if Riedel did this or was caught doing this, all the apps, like, there would be nothing in the store, and they probably wouldn't come back. But because it's Facebook and because it's Google and they're so big and Apple has a lot to lose as well, if they yanked Facebook actually from the store, they're not doing that. So there is definitely a difference between those two.
Mm.
Can you imagine Apple yanking Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I think it would just be awesome to watch what happens. I'd go make popcorn for that.
Tech drama.
Yeah, but who'd win?
Probably Facebook.
Really?
I don't know.
I think ultimately a lot of people would complain to Apple that Facebook stopped working and that this is their app that they love using. I mean, there's a reason why there are, I don't know how many billion Facebook users now. And I think ultimately it would be more damaging to Apple than to Facebook, which is probably why Facebook thought they could just get away with it.
There's more Facebook users than there are people on the planet.
Well, that is weird.
I take it that.
Oh, that's where all those shadow profiles, right?
Extraterrestrial life.
That's an idea. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it wouldn't look good for either side. I mean, it definitely doesn't look good for Facebook, given like everything else that was going on with them recently. All the other bad news that they had. Press that they had, but it's still like, I'm pretty sure in this case, like, that's the only thing Apple could do, like yank the internal stuff, like make them hurt internally without like hurting their own users.
Yeah.
Old Zuckerberg is a smug devil though, isn't he? I mean, you just see it, you see him smiling at the camera and think, oh, you smug bastard.
Well, you've got to say, if you're worth the best part of about 16 billion quid, then yeah, I'd be pretty smug as well there, actually. I know, you know, I'd like to keep the moral high ground, but I think I'd crumble.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird thing. And fair play to him. He's doing his best to sort of stop it internally collapsing on itself, which it sort of seems close to. I mean, myself, I haven't got a Facebook account, when all the sort of the stuff hit the fan, you think, okay, and so I pulled my Facebook account pretty much straight away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's comments here. Buddy Build is a good solution for this, says Greg. I uninstalled Facebook apps from my iPhone about 6 months ago, says Deep Pan, and doesn't regret it. Not missing it a single bit. So does Brett, but Brett doesn't realise he can say that on the podcast, I don't think. A Magic Man says, I could live without Facebook. Well, everyone could. and Bob says, no Facebook apps for me. Mm. I won't put Facebook apps on my phone because I find them intrusive.
Yeah,
Messenger is just the spawn of the devil.
Keep in mind, like, what Facebook actually owns, what technically is a Facebook app. There is Instagram, there is the Messenger, there's the Facebook app,
yeah,
and there's also WhatsApp.
Yep.
So all four of those are technically owned by Facebook.
I don't want to live without my Instagram. I do like my Instagram app.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if you have an Instagram account, I think at this point you have a Facebook account, even if you deleted the other one.
Instagram's hard to get rid of off the phone because there's really no other option for Instagram.
Yep.
The Mac clients are pitiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally. Totally. Sorry, Green, you were saying?
Well, I was going to say, they're all merging anyway, aren't they? So that they can control everything about you.
Well, that's where I think they're going to get a lot of pushback, though, Greeny, because there's a point here where Bob Beach has gone, oh, I'm wrong, you're right, I've got WhatsApp. So it's like there is Facebook-esque apps that you're willing to use, but if they did bring it all together under one umbrella and it's a Facebook app you've got to have on for Instagram, WhatsApp and everything, then I can see people, there's being a backlash against that, and people going, no, I don't want it on.
I think it's Gizmodo that's been doing articles about, I tried to remove Amazon and then they did Google completely from my life. And they found it basically impossible, especially like Amazon, their AWS service runs half the web. So you can't connect to websites if you block all Amazon IPs. You know, like you can start by hiding all of your, you know, echoes, but there's no way to completely escape these companies.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, AWS is a big one, like 50-60%.
The iCloud and, you know, the whole sort of Apple stuff, that's all run by Google. You know that? All the
servers. It's on Google servers, isn't it? Yeah.
They're actually using all, like, basically all big cloud providers, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and their own stuff.
I've done an article on this, and so for the first time in my life, I know what I'm talking about. but don't trust me.
Go greeny.
But 80% is Google. They have a little bit of AWS, and they have a little bit of Azure, but it's mainly Google.
Mm. Yeah.
So there.
Last story, second Apple employee accused of stealing the car details in espionage. And I've got to say, industrial espionage, I thought that you can steal because you can't steal information in the UK. You can only steal. So if I go into...
Well, you can.
So in terms of like legally being prosecuted, most people that get prosecuted for theft of corporate secrets are actually prosecuted because of the media that they've taken it out on. So it's like you get the thing and you burn a CD-ROM and you take the CD-ROM, you're actually guilty of the theft of the CD-ROM, not the theft of the information that's on it. But it's this guy's talking, they're talking about 25 years for this guy or something.
Yeah. I mean, I would bet that you're still breaking copyright law or something.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Wow. You can't steal information in the UK in law. There is no way around.
I'll remember that the next time I need to steal some information. I'll just book a flight and go do it.
Well, this is the hard time that the problem that they've had with... you can have copyright breaches, don't get me wrong. So it's like if I take an image of something and then you publish that image without license, then that's a copyright breach. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But you can't physically take information from a corporation and give it to another corporation and be prosecuted for the theft of the information. It doesn't... Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. Hang on, go on, Muller. That's abstraction.
Use power. That's one.
Sorry. If you used a device that then used power, you could the abstraction of the electrical energy would be yes, absolutely. Yes. But you can't be done for the theft of the information. You can't steal information in the UK. Abstraction. What a great thing that is.
Good word. It's good word. Wow.
Well, someone was done for abstraction on London Underground a few months back. They plugged in their phone to charge up in one of the sockets in one of the trains, and they did them for abstraction of the electrical energy. Interesting. At least one of the photographs that Chen took depicted an assembly drawing of an Apple-designed wiring harness for an autonomous vehicle, suggesting Apple's work does indeed go beyond simple autonomous software.
Mm.
So they made their own wiring looms.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering about two things in this case. I mean, one, why are we hearing a lot about the car project and about IP property theft? Why is that? Is that something that is unique to that project, or is it happening all over? Which my second question is: this also happening in other departments at Apple, but nobody ever talks about it because it's boring.
Oh, this one's because it's about the car. And that's what makes it an exciting story, because the whole Apple car thing is still the big mystery.
Yeah, Apple's not making a car. I just don't see that. You look at the Horlicks that Tesla's making of it all at the moment, and I just can't see Apple touching that with a barge pole. That's a quick way to go from – cars are a quick way to go from being a multi-billion dollar organization to going bankrupt.
Well, look at the trouble that Tesla has at the moment just trying to fulfill orders. That's, you know, a Californian company, if you like, trying to, you know, be a part of this massive automotive market and understanding what it takes to be there, you know, and, you know, the guy who runs it, what's his name? We all know his name. Forgotten it. You know, said how difficult it is. He didn't realize how difficult it was to... Mr. Elon Musk, indeed. How did I forget? But yeah, you know, it's a big business. It's been around for many years, and there's a lot of money in it. A lot of money in it, and you just can't just suddenly make a car and expect everybody to be able to buy it when they wanted to and pick it up when they wanted it to. It's a big project. But interesting, though. Very interesting.
Muller's gone mental in the chat room with Section 1, authorized access to computer material and stuff like that. But again, it's all about accessing computers and so on. And then he's got data protection. Well, data protection is about the people protecting the data that hold it. It's not about whether you steal it or not. So, for obtaining,
but it's not personal data, so that doesn't apply. Mm. As long as there's no personal information in that data, like
yeah, it's an interesting one.
I think the car thing in some ways, I think it will happen, but they won't make their own car. They'll just build technology for other car makers to put into their cars.
Yeah, I don't see
that. I'm not so sure about that. I mean, that could happen, but it would be very un-Apple-like. What I can rather see is that they will partner up with someone that does the manufacturing. I mean, that's what they have been doing basically almost into their entire life. It's like, I mean, the iPhone. Like, Apple doesn't actually build the iPhone. Like, Foxconn and a bunch of other companies do. And I can see that happening again.
Now, Muller's
but they built the technology, they built the software, and then someone else actually does the production side.
See, there might have been, since I did my law stuff, there might have been stuff that was specifically written for computer stuff and data, but he's put down Theft and Fraud Act here, and Theft and Fraud Act definitely doesn't cover information. I know that for a fact. So. Yeah. Well, it might have been changed in my day, yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm right, subject to this being 2007. There we go.
Works for me.
Can we talk about Foxconn saying just getting to Wisconsin?
I can't hear a word you've just said. Say again.
Oh, yeah.
So Wisconsin offered Foxconn some $3 billion in tax credits and cuts to build a factory there supposed to provide, like, I don't know, 3,000 some jobs, and now they're saying at best maybe like I think 1,000, but over the course of 7 years, and they may can the whole thing altogether, despite all of the tax incentives, which is fine by me. It was a bad plan on Wisconsin's part, I think.
So they've taken the money as a subsidy then, and then reduced the numbers of jobs that Foxconn is going to eventually offer.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know if Wisconsin would offer them maintain the offer for the tax credits if they didn't follow through with the jobs or not. But
some of the tax
credits... It feels like they're scrapping the whole thing.
Yeah, some of the tax credits they won't get because they have to hit specific keystone tasks to get them.
Yeah,
and one of them was that to have a certain number of employees hired by a date that's coming up soon, and they're not going to hit that. So that's like $4.5 million in credits that they don't get. But I mean, it won't matter because it's not like Foxconn will actually be at anything. And excuse me, the jobs that they are supposedly going to be making are not the jobs that they talked about in the beginning, which would have been blue collar jobs. Mm-hmm. So, uh, So they would have been able to employ a lot of people that are in the area already. And now the jobs they're talking about are like higher end engineers, researchers, stuff like that.
Right.
So it's not going to provide jobs for the people that are in the area where this facility is going to go.
Yeah, assuming it even happens. I'm not surprised because usually, I mean, if you do any kind of manufacturing in Western countries, it's usually heavily automated. So what you need is high qualifying jobs.
Yeah, and it's not even going to be a manufacturing facility. It's now a product development or research facility.
Yeah.
Because they say that manufacturing in China and assembling in Mexico is way cheaper, and there's no reason they would spend the extra money to do it in freaking Midwest U.S.
There might be a tax.
The wall, though, don't they?
Yeah, there's got to be subsidy and tax holiday associated with that as well, though, most definitely.
So I've lost my live stream. I can't see it. Is my network connection okay?
No, you've got a shit connection. It's just said poor network connection on your...
Should I leave and come back? No. Or should I just leave?
No.
Just go. Go already.
We're into the adverts and the cool things now. This podcast is brought to you by TSO Host. They have been an absolute Trojan to us last year, stepped up to the mark and looked after us manfully. Thank you to them. A lot of people tweeting out last week about saying thanks to TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. Lovely one from Knish's Taxi saying how nice it was for a group of old men to be able to reminisce thanks to TSO Host. make sure you take to the socials and do At TSO Host, thanks for supporting At British Tech. That's all they want for us. So that keeps us on the air. Give them the brand recognition and the thanks for looking after the BTN, and we will be very happy, and so will they. They're absolutely brilliant to us, and we would hate to lose them because we couldn't be bothered to just do a few tweets. And if you see someone who has tweeted, then retweet, please, if you possibly can. That would be good as well to show that we've got a kind of a network that will spread out to everyone. And thanks also to Wirecast, because Wirecast give us the software that we're currently streaming on. I've got far better at using it now. And my Stream Deck's helped immensely with that. And the software is brilliant. Check it out. It's at telestream.net/Wirecast, and you can see this. If you've got a church or a sports venue or something like that, and this is an absolute essential piece of software. And thanks to Hoya. Hoya gave me my glasses to do the shows in, and they are absolutely stunning, and I love them. And I've got my others back, and I'm so happy I've got them. God, I've missed them. Really, really, really missed my glasses. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Jimmy boy.
I'll be honest with you. I've struggled to find something that I would like to share, really, because, you know, I'm all over the place, and obviously a lot of my stuff I do is animation-based and 3D-based, so it's not really sort of a wide audience that would be interested in what I'm interested in. But there is one thing that I... probably could share that somebody out there might find interesting, and that's a website called 3D People. So when I have to build some of these scenes, I have to try and find something to bring a scene alive, especially in 3D or animation, and it's really hard to just use a 2D sort of picture of somebody looking interesting, especially when I cast light on that person and cast shadows on their clothes, etc. So there's some great companies out there, and one of them is called 3dpeople.com. It's nice main name, and it's great because what they do is they offer you some free models for you to play with, and they're really, really good. There's one of our animated boy kicking a football around, it's kind of loopable, so if anybody out there wants to have a sort of play with sort of Blender, which Blender is a free application that's 3D and you can download it on a Mac or a PC, you can start importing these people in there and start playing with light and see how they actually work. They're incredibly good 3D people, because they're obviously, all their models are laser scanned, and the accuracy is unbelievable. So I bought quite a few of these models for some projects I've been working on, but they actually do like really good animated ones as well. So it's definitely worth having in your bookmarks in case, you know, somebody asks you about creating a project and maybe we don't want to be having to model a person from their shoes to their hair. So yes, that's it. It's 3dpeople.com.
Excellent. Good, cool.
No worries. Thank you.
I like that. Not a lot. I'm going to go and play them there. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, man?
Well, you and you gave me a task early in the show. And so I found your solution for adding a mouse to an iPad Pro.
Oh, and?
Or any iPad. So that's my cool thing. It's a product called Dubox. And it works with the Mac or with the iPad or an iPhone. And so it's basically like this hub that gives you a ton of different ports. So you have micro SD, USB, Ethernet, HDMI, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're using it with an iPad or an iPhone, it will let you use an external keyboard and mouse. So it actually does what you're looking for or what everyone is asking for. Now, the one thing that would be nice is if it cost less than it does, because it's like, I want to say like $350.
Oh, it's massive as well.
It's and it has a built-in battery. So you can use it to charge your devices as well.
Right. So Dubox.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's nice.
I'm watching the video here and cannot take photo. So you put the Dubox down and you connect a card in and then.
And now you
open the app storage. And then it lets you. Okay, got you. Yeah. And there's a little light ring that comes up that shows, and you can just write to the... Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
oh, no, so... this is what I want to see. Where's the mousey type stuff going on here?
They get to it in the video.
Yeah. We're just going to have to fill on audio, though, because otherwise people on the audio think... Here we go.
I get bored.
Has he done it yet? No, he's not done it yet. He's just unplugged. You come back. Show us the mouse thing. You bastard. But there's dubox.com, and you can have a look there. Price you said was horrific.
I want to say it's like $350.
Oh,
let me take a quick look.
Yeah, I don't want it that much.
Well, $359. Oh, and it also has built-in storage. I didn't realize that. It comes with 32 or 64 gigs of storage built in.
Cool.
The other option on the market is what do they call it? A MacBook.
And the other option would be a MacBook.
Yeah, 1200. Thank you. Superb.
That's a good one.
Oh, the sharing thing. That looks pretty cool. They've just done a sharing thing where they all looked at their... and you can interact with Siri with it. And it can go with your TV. And you can do slideshows. Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
So it does a lot of stuff.
It does do a lot of stuff. It's justifying its price tag a little bit more and every time I look. So brilliant. Good, good, cool thing, mate. Like that. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
Since you guys, I think, talked about Office 365 recently, and we talked about using the iPad, I wanna pick Office 365 because I just subscribed a month ago and I've been using it, and it is like it's awesome. I mean, if you like Office, if you need it, obviously, but we're using it in the office quite a lot. We don't have Office 365, which was annoying me, and I was like, well, it's $99 a year, so or $100 a year, $99.99 plus taxes. So let's just do it. And what's really cool, that's the home version. That's basically for home use, the like most complete version. You get all Office apps, so PowerPoint, Outlook, Publisher, Word, Excel, all included. You get, I think, a terabyte of storage on OneDrive. You get 60 international Skype call minutes a month, and you can use the apps on basically all your devices, all your personal devices. So I have it on my iPad. The iPad Pro requires an Office 365 subscription for Office to work. And if you read the news recently, Microsoft added Office 365 or the Office apps to the Mac App Store as well. You need Office 365 for that as well, I think. So it is pretty cool. And I said, it's $100 a year. So it's not even that expensive for what it really offers you. I mean, storage alone is probably, would be more than that if you did go with anybody else almost.
$100 a year.
Yeah, and you get everything. And there are business versions that are like offer you more and all of that, and you can have multiple users. But there's a home version, there's a personal version, depending on what you need. I can get 6 users on my home account. So.
Oh, that's not too bad. Bob says, I've got Office 365 Home. Love it. It's actually very good value.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Greeny, what have you got for us, mate?
Not a fat lot.
Okay.
Truthful.
That's fine.
But having a Mac again, it's been absolutely terrific. And I've sort of, I've been urged because I'm not having a Mac, but now I've got one, I can. So if you're looking, chaps, at doing a, and chapesses, doing a podcast of your own, there's a great program, I don't think it costs a fat lot, called Feeder. That's F-E-E-D-E-R.
Yeah.
It's got a built-in FTP manager. You can basically just drag and drop your podcast into it, add a description, add your artwork, and click the publish button, and it sends it straight up to iTunes or wherever you want to go to. I sort of mainly focus on iTunes, but absolutely terrific. Love it. So that's Feeder, F-E-E-D-E-R, built-in FTP. It sort of takes all the XML sort of nonsense out of the equation, so it does it all for you. You'll love it.
Brilliant.
I promise you.
I use Feeder to handle my Sparkle updates for all of my apps too. It's top notch for that.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
Didn't know that.
New use already. And not by some stroke of fate, your cool thing, please, Brett.
Oh, all right. So mine's going to be hard to explain. It's called Hook. It's a brand new app, like just came out yesterday. On a Mac, it allows you to pop up a window and connect any files together, one or more files connected. So anytime you open Hook on that app or on that file, whether it's in Finder or when you have it open in any app, it'll show you all the other files you've connected to it. So you can have like a website, your Word document or your Markdown document, a couple of notes in NVL, like all referenced together. So while you're working on something, you can jump between all of the related files. It makes it really easy to connect like all parts of your workflow together. I'm finding it both elegant and extremely useful.
So you could, so that's all types of documents. I'm thinking like reports and stuff like that would be good. Because
anything that has a file. If it's in, if an app has a closed ecosystem, it's a little bit harder, although it does work with like Evernote and DevonThink. But as long as you're saving a file to disk, it's guaranteed to be able to connect it.
Wow. Price?
I actually don't know. I've been on the beta. I think there's a free trial.
It says free download at the moment. It doesn't actually give you an option to buy on the website.
Yeah, I know it is set up through Paddle, but I got my license for free, so I can't speak to that. That would be good information to find before I write about it, though.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. There might be only the download for the beta, but Greeny will get an NFR code. That's Greeny.
For review purposes only.
That's Greeny's speciality, mate. NFR codes for everything.
I just went and checked their FAQ to see if it has anything about pricing. They have no FAQ, even though they have a link.
They're still piecing together. It's kind of a soft launch right now.
Yeah.
But they sent me the early press kit, and there is the FAQ is covered. Apparently, they just haven't finished the website yet.
So, still, this looks awesome.
It does. Looks really good. I'm going to get into that. Definitely have a play with it.
You can even link, you can get a link to, in MailMate or in Mail, a link to an email, which is traditionally nearly impossible. So you can include a link to an email that will follow the email as it changes folders and things. And also, if you link a file and you move the file, it's still linked. It'll track it based on its file system bookmark instead of its actual location. And you can share those with other people. So if you link a file in Dropbox and the other person clicks the link on their machine, it'll find that file in Dropbox that you referenced.
That's cool stuff. Really nice.
Right. That's brilliant. No, that really is cool, mate. I'm impressed with that, I have to say. Good pick. My cool thing is given to me by Muller, actually. He put me onto it today. It's Synth One, which is out on... it's a little...
Ooh.
It's a great synth application that allows you to just play loops, change your wave patterns, and get some backing tracks and that kind of stuff out of it. And you can change the sawtooth. There we go. Just give yourself some background tracks to run to. The sounds out of it are amazing. And through the 10S Max speakers, they do sound awesome. It's built for iPad, so you get a lot more ability to touch the keyboard on it and mess around. But it's stunning. And there is an add-on to it. Muller's put a link in the chat room. There is an add-on to it that's called D7, is it? D1. And that's $7.99 to add to it. But... I mean, the actual thing itself, you just have to have a play around with it. But it's from AudioKit Synth 1 in the Mac App Store. Well, not Mac App Store, the phone App Store, the iTunes Store. Okay. If you want to know about the links for all the cool things and that kind of stuff, then get yourself over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to today, which is the 1st of February. Remember, we only record on a Friday, so that's dead easy. If it's not Friday, it's not happening. And you can look at all the links for all the stuff that we've had and download all of it and listen to Muller's amazing ability to cut and paste for information law. Because there's loads of it. Loads and loads and loads of it.
But never click any Muller links.
No, God, Jesus. Well, make sure you're not at work if you click them, that's the point. So.
Sure.
We've got a Golf Clash can as well. So if you want to join us on Golf Clash, which is a program I recommended a while ago, you can come. You can have some lessons and do your thing with us and then come and play matches against us. And if you follow me on Facebook as well as, then we can play against each other, which is kind of cool. So we can do that as well, and it's lovely. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Jimmy boy?
I'll agree with the goal thing, mate. It's sadly one of those apps which I'm keeping open far too frequently. So thank you for that. It's nice to be part of the clan on that. Yes, you can find me on Twitter, and it's just at James Rickards. That's RICKARDS. I post everything there. Thank you very much.
Excellent, mate. And people want your Udemy course. They can. You put a link in the chat for us, mate, and then they can get to it.
Yeah, a new month starts, so it was a very good month last month. I'm really happy with helping people out with motion graphics. It's been a joy, and people are loving it as well. So, yeah, I'll put a link in the dashboard. But it's udemy.com/AppleMotion5, and you'll find me there.
Excellent. Jeffrey, where are you, buddy?
I'm over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com. Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm making the podcast round still.
Excellent, mate. And are you enjoying it at Smile?
Smile's a pretty awesome place to be.
Yeah, that's nice. Good. I'm glad you're on your feet, mate. Superb. Patrice, where are you? Melting in 72 degrees?
Yeah, kind of melting. It's really nice outside. It's t-shirt weather, so I'm good. I just realized, by the way, that the bash is in about 6 months, so we're getting close.
Oh, yeah,
to
we
it.
Need to do
really
some
excited.
Tickets for that, yeah. Are you coming over this year, then?
I will try. Like, if I can somehow make it, I will try to do it.
Yeah, you need a reason to go back to Germany, to the head office or something like that, and then...
Yeah, I have to look up the dates, and then I'll...
They can pay the expensive airfare, and you can have the cheap
exactly.
fare then over
that's,
to us.
That's the idea.
Brilliant, mate.
I mean, I also get two free flights a year, or two free trips a year, so...
Sure.
Maybe I'll use one of those. Anyway, you can find everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. Superb. Grinny boy, where would you be?
BritishMac.com.
And you coming back on the big show later?
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock.
Right? 8 o'clock, yes. 8 o'clock for big, definitely.
Yep.
Jeff's joining us, but he's got to come in halfway through, so that should be fun.
I'll be fashionably late.
Do it. Do it. Will James be creating a Chuckle Brothers course on Udemy da do da me? Don't get that.
You to me to you.
Oh, you to me to you. Yeah, oh God almighty.
I'll tell you what, that's quick, isn't it? Very good.
Oh, blimey.
I love RP. People are great, aren't they?
Brett, where can we get you, pal?
I'm at brettterpstra.com and ttscoff on all of your favorite social networks.
Excellent, mate. Great to have you back in the fold. Superb. You can get me, Ewan Rankin, at Ewan Rankin. Wow, jeez. I've lost the ability to speak. Stroke. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech as well. As don't forget to give the recognition to TSO host and Telestream for us. We'll be back again next week on Friday as normal with the Mac Show at 4 p.m. and all of the fun crowd will be here, and it'll be a great afternoon. See you then. Thanks for listening.